it's a treat to have you. This has been a long time coming. So your grandmother is one of your biggest fans and your grandfather. But she for sure would talk to me about you every single time I went to visit the first year I went to see them. And so you are a super stud and a loved guy by that family there. My neighbors, beautiful people, Paul and Rogene, love you guys. And so anyways, this has been a relationship. She was like, oh, and my grandson, you need to meet my grandson. And he's such the entrepreneur. You guys remind me of each other. And because I got a lot of crazy ideas and I used to share those with them.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we have that connection and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But hey, man, what we do is I'm going to start out real quick with we call it, you know, a quick minute where we're going to go through some stuff and warm up and get this conversation going. And so that kind of gets our brain going and
it gets
the conversation. I get the jitters out a little bit.
You're good.
You don't seem like a jittery guy, but just in case, you never know.
You'll work out whatever's left there.
Right on, man. So, hey, man, what's your favorite color, Evan?
Simple. I'd say blue.
Blue. Why blue?
Blue's it. Well, you see it everywhere. It takes up half the sky, especially moving back to Kansas. You see a lot more of it than you see in other places.
Nice.
That's the color of the Air Force when I was in and what we always wore on a uniform. So I just always liked blue.
Yeah, I'm really.
Green's a close second. Green's a close
green,
second.
Green, blue, and then green.
That's it. Green's a close second because I loved mowing yards growing up. And nice, fresh cut lawn, the smell of that, really good.
That's
and
awesome.
So somehow green just stuck in there because you always look at a nice green lawn.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about your Air Force, your involvement with Air Force Academy and all that. And then also the business, I think it's your first business?
Oh, which one?
The lawn care business?
Yeah. Old Grassmasters, which I think would take on a whole new meaning in the name today than nice. It did 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It was always a joke for my buddies that found out the name of the Grassmasters. They're like, well, what's that? What were you selling? I was like, I was mowing yards. That was it. But that was the first official company that did one. I don't know. That's 15 years ago now.
That's awesome. So what's your favorite sport or sports?
Definitely football. Football's been the sport that I've loved and grown up and playing. But I will say now that as I've gotten older, ones that I've come to appreciate a lot more, baseball and soccer. Something I never would have thought. You ask younger me that, I would have laughed at myself.
Yeah.
But I've come to actually like watching a little bit of baseball and a little bit of soccer, like with everything coming up for this holiday season.
Yeah.
Having everything big with World Cup and all. That's something that oddly I've come to like a little bit more.
So football, what position did you play?
I was offensive tackle.
Interesting.
That's it.
Interesting. So, and you're pretty in shape and probably a little different physique than you were at that time.
I'll take that. Lost about, I don't know, what are we down? 30 or so, 40 pounds.
Yeah, you look
what
sharp.
It used to be. That was it. We were the smallest offensive line anyways in the country. So
interesting.
We were meant to be small. My
and this was at the Air Force.
Yeah. You got it. So we'd go chop block Oklahoma guys and Michigan guys, and they were 50, 100 pounds heavier.
Man.
But it was a lot of fun.
Nice. All right. Just a little personality question here.
Sure.
Muscle car or luxury sedan?
Whatever makes it harder to ever get pulled over. That I'm always happy with.
Luxury sedan. All right.
We joke when I pulled up here. I drive a tan Avalon, which the average age driver is like 62.
Yeah.
Got a vet tag on the back or whatnot.
Yeah.
And old Officer Gay, now Sheriff.
Yeah.
Right?
Chad Gay,
I joke with him. Hey, what are the odds of ever getting pulled over in one of those? It's like, man, vet tag and a tan car, that's pretty tough.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with whoever gets me point A to B and a decent, comfortable ride.
Nice. All right. So real quick, what is your go-to order at a hometown restaurant? Try to keep it in Harvey County if you can.
Definitely. For here, no doubt about it. The thing that I seem to get at least every week or every other week would be the California sandwich at Del Puente.
Ah.
Not sure if you've been. Have you been there yet?
They're actually a sponsor of one of our episodes coming up, so that's pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah, all right. Angie and Sal coming up. Wonderful.
That's so awesome.
The California there, pretty darn good. And if you're listening and you haven't been there, the fresh Mexican is kind of the take they're on with it. And Angie and Sal have done a wonderful job there.
Yeah.
And it's the California has a they put avocado on it with an egg, and it's fantastic.
Awesome.
So every time.
We had lunch there on Tuesday for Taco Tuesday. We had their three taco deal, and man, it was so delish. I really enjoyed that. It was a good plate and very reasonably priced, too.
Agreed.
So, all right. Is there a special place in Harvey County that you enjoy and why?
I'd have to say that would depend on the time frame in my life. Definitely when I was younger, I would say Athletic Park and Athletic Park for sure, because that was just a great spot to have the football stadium, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
The older I get and have gone away and lived in different cities and seen things, we have just such a unique high school football atmosphere that small town feel that you see in the movies. We yeah. actually have that.
That's awesome.
Other places really don't have that. That was always a special place. Now, as I'm older and coming back around for here in Harvey County, it would honestly just be downtown Newton. It's something that, again, we can talk about a little bit later after seeing other places, studied different economic growth factors for cities and different regions. Newton is the one place that actually has a downtown that has kind of that nice feel of its own separate vibe and feel that really around like Wichita area, there's not many other towns that have that.
Yeah.
Most other suburbs are suburbs that bleed in without having their own distinct business atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Newton still got that. And that's something that now that I've been older coming back, I've been very pleased and impressed with.
That's really cool, man. And you've traveled and you've seen and you've lived other places. And frankly, when you were going to come, you're contemplating coming home. I know I was a person that we had chatted about
yeah.
that, about opportunities. And I appreciate you calling me and having that discussion. And I was kind of excited about the potential mm-hmm. of you and your wife coming here because mm-hmm. of how you work and how you do. And we're about to get into that.
Yeah.
But as a team and as a unit, you two are just some special unique individuals, and you are go-getters, and there's so much behind you, and that's why you're here today. I try to look for people that are leaders and people that are creating things and visionaries, and then I want to humanize you guys and be like, dude, they just take action and they're not afraid to paint a vision and go after it. But the partnership that you two display and that you fight with is just so rare today, unfortunately, but I think it's a great example for people to look at and watch. And so I want to get into that. So real quick, there was a big sale here in town mm-hmm. and you were a part of that, Cedar Village. That is a great opportunity that you yeah. took a bull by the horns. And I thought, man, that's a big lift. Thank you for sending me the information that you sent me on that. I did get it to a couple of friends of mine. I'm not sure if they called you or not, because I know you were probably running through Rolodex.
We're working to get it sold. That's what we're running through. You
yeah.
got it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rolodex away.
And at the end of the day, it sounds like, you know, I know you did it pretty quick in my perception. I know you're a very competitive guy and you probably have
commercial
high
timelines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Timelines. And, how long was that one on the market? Do you mind me asking that in the public like that?
The basics of it there, without going for too much of that, that was a few months where we ended up getting everything wrapped up
yeah.
in one ball. And, it was really a pleasure, honestly, to be able to work for the sellers on that one, make it happen. And that's where you had some folks, the folks who'd had it, did a wonderful job mm-hmm. on working to increase occupancy and build it out. And Cedar Village, I would say, was something that was always special even to me growing up. So I had that opportunity. It was mm-hmm. a place where my wife and I actually had our first date in old Curtis C's. So growing up knowing Curtis C's, like a staple
yeah.
in town, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where we had our first date. So it was pretty personal as well. And then coming back then and learning more about the building, how it's changed, it was really cool. So what the sellers had done, and then now the buyers who had picked it up, I think are going to pick up right where they left off. And over the next 6 to 12 months, I think we're going to see a lot of really cool stuff there as well.
Yeah.
So just a real pleasure to have that opportunity working for folks on that.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm excited to see you do much more of that. And I want to get into this vision that you have, and that you're sharing with people that I'm buying into, with the company that you own and operate, and with what you and your wife do. But real quick, I want to kind of go back a little bit to your childhood. So if I knew Evan as a kiddo, Who was Evan?
He was a blonde-headed kid, like a stark blonde, bull haircut kid that wouldn't stop talking. That yeah. was the issue. So that good little kid. Now, actually, if you want to know what Evan looked like or was as a kid, you can look at my 1.5-year-old son, Ethan. And I think you can pretty take of that.
So, what is that word? Your grandpa would use a chip off the old block?
chip off the old block. Version 2.0. We'll always say that, right? He's going to be better than me, no doubt about it.
Wow.
But my mom says he's a spitting image. Same kind of deal. I'll argue he's also a spitting image of my father-in-law, Dave.
I mean, yeah.
My wife's side, Shannon's side, they yeah. call him Little Mini Dave. And I totally agree with that. I yeah. see it. My mom will also say spitting image of me, just the same. And I see that too.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to see that blend.
Interesting blend of the two families.
Totally. Yeah. But that's definitely what I'd look like. Blonde little kid that was talking and just running around the place.
And then middle schoolish, did you get into athletics right about then?
Oh, yeah. It was football. And fortunately, I mean, my mom really kept me active and involved in doing things and made sure I got involved in all the different activities possible. So that was really good. I really contributed a lot of that to my mother. She did a wonderful job with that. My father then, he was just fantastic in supporting me for sports side, mm-hmm. like for football. I was mm-hmm. really fortunate that he made it to so many of my practices and would watch and take me to kick field goals because I was actually a kicker as well as an offensive guy, and punted for quite a while. And he was just really good at making that happen. So it was a good childhood, very good childhood.
I didn't know we had that in common. We'll have to go kick some balls after this.
That's it. That's why I told you. So I had an odd liking for soccer too that I never would have thought, because I just enjoyed kicking.
Yeah, and you are a product of USD 373.
Yeah,
all the way through.
It. Yeah, I guess I preschool somewhere in Wichita, but for pre-K, but yeah, from kindergarten all the way through high school.
So in high school, you guys had a pretty amazing class, from what I gather. You just got a lot of successful people that came out of that group that you were with, in different walks of life.
Great
but
class.
A lot of entrepreneurs, right, in that group.
Great class. A lot of guys starting and doing some of their own stuff. And I mean, I would just really say we had our class reunion. Anna was born 3 years ago, 2009, 2019. So we had that. And I mean, we had that class reunion. We ended up, I think it was 80 or 90 folks coming for it. Fantastic turnout for a class reunion that you'd have over the weekend. And it's just something where overall great class that we had. And it's one of those that I was really fortunate to be a part of.
Yeah. And then so you played football and you were a standout there. Mm-hmm. And was that your only sport in high school?
No, did basketball and track.
Okay. Also. So you did those too.
Classic, what you'd think on the docket. Basketball, football, and track was the run.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And then when you were, you moved on to the Air Force Academy. Mm-hmm. That's not real easy to get into. So tell me about that path.
That was fortunate. Playing football, they decided, hey, we think you might be good enough to come out here. I mean, originally it was going to be heading out to West Point and play for Army at the time. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately they had some staffing coach changes. Mm-hmm. And so decided to explore and see, well, it could be another option just in case, because they were running a different offense than what I would have been used to, and same defense. Mm-hmm. And then Air Force had opened up as an opportunity. Coach came out here, got a meet with him, went out there and fell in love with that. And big thanks for that one for my dad again, who happened to know a gentleman named Bob Bledsoe who had went out there. And he said, hey, did you happen to know anyone there? And that's what got our initial film out there.
Yeah.
Then I should also always say Coach Glenn, Brent Glenn from Newton High. He coached during my high school years. A very big thanks to him for all the players he put films together for. There was, I think, six or eight of us that went on to play college ball. And I really put a lot of that thanks to him for putting those films together back when it was pre-huddle stuff, whatever it is today that you just, it loads up instantly and you're taking it with a phone. It was all taking film from up in the box and then chopping, spending hours together to put it together. Mm-hmm. And now as I look back on that, what he did for us was something that I never would have done back then. Mm. And mom and dad, of course, they would have done everything for me, but that's not their skill set. He just did that. So it's something we were very fortunate to have. And that's ultimately what helped us open me up to getting there.
To that opportunity.
And then had to make the requirements and everything. And thanks to mom forcing me to do all the right stuff in school, it worked out pretty nicely.
And you were an entrepreneur in high school.
Was fortunate to have a business that worked out pretty nicely then. Enjoyed that. That's where Grassmaster started, mowing lawns.
So I was having lunch with Dan Heinze last week. He's a community guy too here.
Oh yeah, Dan.
Conrad Insurance, and great guy. We go to same church together, and just really, really like Dan a lot. He's a ball of fire. And he told me that he was like, yeah, I think I sold him his first insurance policy when his first business.
He did. He definitely did. It was actually, I had a call, how that one went down is I'm throwing shot put, 17, I'm throwing shot put up at, we're at Bethel. And Coach Russ Graber out there, also fantastic, coached me and really taught me a lot for throwing. Because fortunately, I won shot put, state shot put champ in senior year.
Wow.
It was a down year for the distances. I got lucky. But it really was. I got fortunate with that one, but it worked out nice. But I remember we were out there and I got a call to have a contract to manage all the foreclosed homes in northern Wichita. This was back in 2007. And they had asked me, they said, well, do you have $1 million in occurrence and $2 million aggregate in insurance? And I remember just saying, well, yeah, I get that. It's not a problem. Yeah. I had no clue what they were talking about. I said, don't worry, I'll get it to you in a day or two.
Yeah.
And I just remember that out there and I immediately had no clue where to go. And then I can't remember if that was Russ or someone else appointed me and said, Dan, you got to go talk to Dan. And so went over and talked with Dan, and Dan set me up for our first policy. And that's how I got a contract to manage all the foreclosed homes in Wichita right before all the foreclosures hit in 2008.
So that was a nice little deal.
That was something else. That's what really took it and made Grassmasters, the company that we were able to sell by the end of leaving.
So that's awesome.
It was good, yeah.
So you sold a company before you're out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
You go to college, Air Force Academy, super competitive, just world class everything.
I was low into the totem pole there, I tell you. That was it.
Most of you guys are humble like that.
That's what
all of you guys are like that with each other. And I really appreciate that, though.
Yeah, like I said, well, there's the fighter pilots. Watch out. There's the Mavericks. I'm just kidding. Some of those are very humble, too. But really, really was. There's some sharp folks there that was something else. I got to learn a lot from that, too.
That's really cool. Good. So what was it like going from Newton, Kansas to entering the Air Force Academy with all those high expectations? What did that look like? Were you nervous, scared, ready to go?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you say the word humbling for stuff. That was like you started to get your first dose of figuring out, hey, what happens when you're not at the top, not always at the best. And it was a great experience for that. There were plenty of avenues that we had that I ran into it, which was really good. And it was definitely a experience where now you're away from home. And that was my first way of stepping away from home and being gone for a long time. I didn't come back for 12 years.
Yeah.
And so I look back at that, though, stepping away and having that, like the last 12 years that we had away from Kansas, probably one of the best things that I had done to develop our own identity. So it was like you just said there, nerve-wracking, not around. It was exciting, but there really was a lot of that struggle in figuring out your own personal identity on your own, separate from the community that has helped house you for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting. It was tough for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you started developing that identity and working through, it really started to grow. And now I think I'm at least pleased with how we've turned out in the end.
Yeah, so no, it's
worked
huge.
Out very nicely for it. But yeah, it was a heck of an experience.
Well, for you to come back, I'm just excited about that and the potential. And then you hit the ground running like I knew you would. You and your wife. I mean, the team that you guys are, it's pretty telling that you took a lot from that experience and you didn't squander it up, as far as I can tell. And that's really exciting. And to bring those talents back home is huge. So one, thank you for being here and coming back and pouring back in. And now I want to get into that part. So you were out there, you've been through a lot, you've had all these choices, you've seen some things, you were in the Air Force for a while, retired from there.
So you don't retire. To retire, you got to go 20 years usually.
That's
sometimes
right.
You can do it early for it. So separated.
Okay.
Did my about six full years active once out of the academy.
Okay.
Is what it was ultimately.
And then you got into some apartment buildings or building flipping or what was that journey?
Yeah,
journey there.
That was actually right out of the academy. So right out of the academy, and I got stationed out in Dayton, Ohio. I got my real estate license almost immediately. And the deal was, I remember going to my commander and saying, hey, I'd like to get my license so that I can start picking up some of these properties. Because if you remember, I said, hey, I had the contract for managing all the foreclosed homes in Wichita.
Right.
And that contract bloomed from doing 5 to 7 homes a month to 40 to 50 a month during the time that I had that contract.
Right.
When I was 17, 18.
Right.
Because I remember I signed it at 18 for the time because I had to be 18 to sign the government contract. The irony is I became a government contracting officer while I was in the Air Force. So I was writing those contracts.
Yeah.
And who would have thought the 18-year-old me knew I was signing something that I'd be creating in just another 5 short years.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's where that started. And I recognized, holy cow, there's this balloon in homes and properties that are valued a lot less than they were, but the numbers still sometimes make sense that they're worthwhile.
Yeah.
And that was actually a hard one for me. I was debating just wanting to do that, but
right.
My mom reinforced and said, you got to go to college. So that was always there.
Right.
And then while at the academy, I had a mentor who helped show me how he built essentially a real estate portfolio throughout his career from location to location. And when I got out to Dayton, I knew, hey, this is something that I got to have a part of my life to explore.
Mm-hmm.
So got my license right away. And commander was like, as long as you can win CGO of the quarter, you're going to be good. That means win the awards. I kept winning those darn awards. Let me continue to start getting apartment complexes, and I would renovate them, rent them out, and move on to the next one.
And you started a company at that point. I'm not sure if you're affiliated with them or not. And then now you're owner-operator of Hearthstone Realty, which is kind of your customer-facing here in this area, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your vision there. So all that transpired, and now here you are, just hitting the ground running. Again, you sold this beautiful property here, and you are such a creative marketer between you and your wife and how you guys pull this off. I have never.
And right now, for the ones listening, he's like, look, he's opening up our folder of what we send clients to welcome and say hi to.
Right.
You get to see.
So we've got handouts.
Oh, I mean, I tell you, Shannon's amazing at that. Shannon's amazing at it.
Clean, top notch. You do any part of any place in any country or a state in this country, whether you're in Manhattan or Newton, Kansas, this would go anywhere. It looks sharp. And some of the creativity behind the letters, the mailers, this is how much of a nerd I am.
I like it. You put each one in there.
I keep all of it.
Oh, heck, you even had my card that I mailed you that has the stamp on the back for it. I like it.
All of it.
I like it.
There is not a piece that you've sent me that I haven't. I take from this about the creativity. This is one of my favorites. Easy summer desserts. It was seasonal. It came right at the right time. And I was like, this guy's good. Him and his wife are on top of it.
I make my fat lineman joke, if I recall right, too, on some of those also.
A food tip for a former lineman. Exactly. That's so good.
I make some of those jokes for it.
So it's humanizing you. It's giving something of value back to me. It's a soft touch. It keeps me in front of people. And we really don't see enough of this here. And that's why I love people like yourself coming in and bringing this, because you're bringing the water level up and your expectations are what they are. You're just taking action. And this is not nothing to me. When I see this, I see quality. I see a lot of hard work. I see a lot of thought in the sales process piece and just the building the relationships that you do. It's intentional, but it's real. There's a lot of people that do things, but it's gimmicky. When you do things, they're heartfelt. It's part of your brand.
It's kind of it. Well, if you're saying that, then it means we hit it right. Love that. And that's been the goal. So the basics of what we do with Hearthstone is that you were asking there earlier about, hey, the real estate experience for back in Dayton. So really, we have two companies. One is where we actually move military around the country. And we connect them with quality agents everywhere. We've been doing that for about five years now. And that's exposed me to some just fantastic real estate agents all over the country that do some stuff that just blows your mind to make sure that they take care of clients and do things really well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's aggressive in how they market things and bring things to market and make it work. So our goal with Hearthstone has been, hey, that's our local company that we use, our local real estate brokerage, to take some of those things that we've learned from all these just fantastic agents around the country and apply it locally here. So that's where the unique thing is when working with me, is that I've had odd exposure to what some really good agents are doing in Colorado, in Florida, in Texas, and seeing what all of them are doing in all these unique places. Mm-hmm. Because believe it or not, in those places where home values are a lot higher and they have a little higher budgets, they do some pretty crazy stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've tried to figure out, how can we do some of that here, even though it's lower budgets, smaller home values, how can we apply some of those concepts still to here? Right. And that's what we've worked on doing. So that's one of the powers of Hearthstone, and I think why we've had a lot of success so far.
Yeah. I mean, all of it's here. I mean, it's integrity, service, excellence. It's your story, your family, you and your wife and your partnership, your dedication to your clients, to our community, the investment in coming back home, and just the things I see you doing in your personal life, some of the events I get to see you at. I mean, you're pouring back in like most people don't understand. And so I just want you to know that I see it and I appreciate it. And we need more of that. And we need to create that community that you're helping pitch into. And I want to get into that vision. I mean, you have some amazing visions. And again, I can go through all this stuff, but just to let you know, this doesn't get wasted in my house. And it's valuable. And I didn't know this is how I would use this.
Yeah, I like it.
But it's here. I have it.
I'm hoping you like the Thanksgiving one coming.
Okay. All right. Right on. There you go, guys. And I'll give the turkey recipe out if I get that. Is it a family recipe? One of
no, now I'm gonna have to go back and talk to Shannon about that.
One of Miss Rogue. Oh, she's like, thanks, dude.
She just sent me a draft actually before this. That's too good.
Funny. So anyways, yeah, well, thank you for what you do and raising the water level here. And it's not my wife was super impressed with some things. We had a conversation one day, and you know, today you just don't know, right? And you had information. Like, we ended up, there was a reason we had to hook up the next day, or we found each other in passing, and you had a whole real cool, very informative reasonable, sensible package, and with your processes of how you take people through the process.
Yeah.
So I had no questions when I call you what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
I understand what my role is and what your role is, yeah, and basically how to stay out of your way and let you do your job.
Yeah.
But also, you know, there was an upfront stuff, but you also had it nailed down to, you gave me a pretty decent price range because of the unique property that I have, mm-hmm, with knowing we're going to have some challenges, but there are also, mm-hmm, some upsides, and you never know what the market's going to, mm-hmm, do. But for you to have that within 14 hours, I don't want to, mm-hmm, exaggerate, but it was literally about that. It was one night.
Yeah, it's about that.
Yeah, we talked late in the evening, and by the, yeah, next, before noon, I think it was, we met in a parking lot, and,
yeah,
and you were going to see some of your buddies that you grew up with around here in a, yeah, building complex you just sold.
That's how that one goes. I mean, the key is, we always tell clients, is that we can't control the market necessarily, but we can control our actions. Mm. And so that's when we're trying to sell and do our job as real estate agents. I can't necessarily control if the market's going to pay X, Y, or Z for your property, but I can control my actions and trying to generate the interest to get as close as possible to what your goals are. So I can control how many calls I make. How many packets do I print, like what you got and brought out? Dozens of those, more than that, for that example, mm-hmm, going to all different
target market individuals,
for all different points of contacts. And it depends on the type of property and what we're working with. But I always say, we can control our actions, can't necessarily control the world. Mm-hmm. Control what we can control.
And your market is, so you're doing everything from individual homes, single family homes, to complexes. Do you do any, yeah, land stuff yet?
Land side, not so
not
much.
Yet.
So it's been pretty much, as I always say, we're about half residential, half commercial for my side personally.
Okay.
Ultimately. And that's been, I grew up when I started heavily out in Dayton, Ohio, where I had built the first brokerage, mm-hmm, got pretty big into selling small multifamily complexes and to investors. That was a little over half the business.
Got
and
it.
And then it grew to where we ended up with a pretty large residential sales side too, mm-hmm, that was, mm-hmm, working very nicely.
Nice.
The commercial part's newer, and that's the one thing that we really found a good space in, that, hey, we can bring multiple offers if we market our commercial properties in a similar manner to how aggressive we are on the residential and investment side. So it worked out nicely.
Yeah, and timing here to have your energy here right now with everything developing from the Amazon, mm-hmm, plant going in, this I-35 corridor.
Yep.
I've seen things happen between San Antonio, Austin, and New Braunfels down in South Texas, like most, yeah, people couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
And I really feel like we're here at this, yeah, point in time. You know, there's companies that are putting in businesses here that would not normally come here because, yeah, they see what's happening and they know things that we don't know in full.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of telltale signs around us. And we also got young, ambitious hustlers that see the vision.
Agreed with that.
Can you, yeah, share some of that, or is some of that top secret?
Top secret. There's nothing there. And I always say, you say, hey, the corridor concept, just fine. I just threw the word out.
Yeah.
It's starting to work pretty well for it. And I know there's other folks that can see the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's some people now who are acting on that, which is absolutely wonderful to see.
Absolutely.
But that concept of the corridor comes really from looking at the same way you said, hey, you saw down in Texas, like there's the Texas Triangle, mm-hmm, right? That's Dallas, mm-hmm, Houston, San Antonio, mm-hmm, that big, nice triangle. There's the Tech Triangle out in Carolinas, where you have all Durham and all that connected together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that when I was getting out of the Air Force, looking at, hey, where does my family want to move to make sure we can capitalize on economic events?
Opportunity.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's how I used to always only think. So I remember I got a nice U.S. Census map of all the MSAs. It's a pretty big map. My wife will laugh at it because we put it up in the office and it was big. And I was circling it. You could see all the dots of where all the population densities were. Mm-hmm. And I would circle out where those clusters were of places that built on some kind of hub.
Yeah.
That had some kind of synergy in their growth characteristics. And I was assuming we had to move to one of those. But then family really has been the most important thing for us, especially if we've had kids. And we want that to be close. We don't have forever with our older family members, and we want our kids to know them. And it's just, so we knew we wanted to move back.
Absolutely.
So what opportunities are there? And the more I started looking in at, is it just big areas like the Texas Triangle where you can have these synergies? Or there's some smaller places that have similar ones. And there are. So if you look at micro MSAs, there are places that have similar characteristics. And so when I started looking back here at home, I've noticed that, well, you really have what I like to call the corridor. And that's, where else do you have two nice four-lane highways that connect a section apart between each other? That's I-35 and Old 81. And when starting to look at the plans that Newton had, ultimately, mm-hmm, for its longer-term growth,
mm-hmm,
and you look at Valley Center, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you look at Park City mm-hmm. and what all their plans are, mm-hmm. it really starts blending together that corridor. So that's where, I should say, it was just the two highways. And then I was reading two books that really influenced me quite a bit. New Geography of Jobs, fantastic book on understanding that it's important to have jobs that bring money into a city, not outside of it. And then another one called Logistics Clusters, which was on studying what we call inland ports, areas that you have clusters of industry that just build on each other. The biggest example was like Louisville, Kentucky, where you have FedEx and UPS together, and they just feed on each other, and that's boomed that city because of it. It's an inland port that everything flies in. Well, you look at it, and you take the viewpoints or thoughts from both those books and combine them, and the Wichita-Newton corridor has a lot of those characteristics and possibilities of growth, which is really cool.
We're logistically,
that's what got me excited.
Yeah, we're logistically ridiculously placed.
It'd be a great, it's a good spot for it.
Yes.
Now, you're fighting against a few other strong places for it. Your Kansas City, your Oklahoma City, Tulsa and stuff. But there's a really good possibility and opportunity for it. And if you look at Wichita as a whole, it's got to go somewhere. There's every city, sadly, is 2.5 hours away, every major city. So it's got to go somewhere. I believe that this corridor is one of the best places for it to grow, and for Newton's sake, for it to go south as well. So we're seeing that, and I think it's something that's very exciting. So corridor was the coined term.
Corridor, you heard it here first from Evan.
That's not it. And that's not for me. You've been saying those things, and now there's guys practicing it, which is awesome, which has been wonderful. There's folks that I think are going to buy in it and they'll be doing more for it than, I mean, I could ever say or do. It's
really neat
to see.
It's exciting for you to see it and unpack it just how you did, because I'm betting on that.
Yeah.
For, you know, my future situation. Yeah. And I'm betting on that movement and that vision. And I know that we have to go out and get it and create it and be a part of it.
Yeah.
But we do need a team of people to come together to make it work and to make sense of things and play with ideas.
Yeah.
And then manifest it.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's going to come down to. And with guys like yourself, I'm just really excited about the energy and the possibility and the potential behind what we got our hands on, because it's not nothing. And I think we are here in Harvey County and in Newton placed perfectly to just really take care of each other for a long time and have plenty of work and then help create new jobs and recruit companies that want to spend money in our area where we can produce and ship out and become a hub for some great companies that want to come here.
And I completely agree with that. And that's where one thing that was really interesting to see coming back is how much Newton has really gotten excited about its own identity. The new flag, love it. I really like the Junior Railer one I was telling you about the other day. I was like, man, that's a really cool logo.
Yeah.
That sense of pride is wonderful. Wichita, same thing coming back. That whole flag in there, it's loving. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
When we move back, Shannon and I, she says, well, yeah, it was good, but we'll never do it again. And I agree with her. We moved back and we lived right downtown at the Renew Apartments because we wanted to see how his Wichita changed itself downtown, because younger, that was not a place you necessarily wanted to go.
Right.
But we're like, we're here, it's different. Let's see what that's like. Because I still believe that's the beating heart of our local regional area. What's that like? The time we were there for a month was amazing. Very different. Now, it was also middle of COVID, a 5-month pregnant lady with a 1.5-year-old daughter in a 500 square foot apartment. That was really rough there. But living around and seeing the area really opened us up to go, okay, something's changing here. And then coming back to Newton and seeing, like I mentioned earlier, the downtown changes. Mm-hmm. Some folks, if you've been here for the last 12 years, you might not feel like those are major changes, but having left and come back, stark changes. Like coffee shops, best coffee shop in town. It's right here at Norm's, I would say. I would say best coffee shop, honestly, in like the Tri-County area is Norm's.
I believe
you've got places like Del Puente now and Back Alley, all that. That's wonderful stuff that wasn't there when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Good things that we're starting to see.
The brands,
So you have that, it's great to see that cities are having their own pride and everything. I love that. But the reason why I also like to use the term just the corridor is it's seeing other areas where you have that growth, that triangular growth or synergy between different cities. You got to also recognize that, hey, our nearby cities, we got to feed off each other. I believe that Newton is critical to Wichita, and Wichita is very critical to Newton. And they feed off each other. And if positioned right, I think that we can have a really bright future on it, because Newton is one of those unique places, like I mentioned, having the unique small downtown that has its own vibe and feel. Honestly, nowhere else has that when you go to any of the other towns. It's got its own vibe and feel. I would argue the best public golf course that you could have around, but it's still within 20 to 30 minutes to any major employer in Wichita area. So again, Newton needs Wichita, Wichita needs Newton, because it ends up being one of those right communities that can help enhance the area. So the corridor concept is trying to get us just to look to beyond, hey, not just individual identities, which are very important, but also seeing that we need each other to really grow and thrive, because otherwise it's going to be a little bit harder to do so. Yeah, so you need to tap into each other's capital, into each other's personnel, into each other's logistics abilities. And I think we're starting to see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I love that you're basically giving that vision of zooming out just a little bit. Yes, it's good to, you know, have your own processes and procedures. And you were able to go online and see our plans, future plans as a city, and go, hey, there's something different here.
Red Newtons, Red Valleys, yeah. Green Park Cities. And the thing is, when you blend all those together, it's actually pretty darn nice.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, talking with different folks, I'm not sure how much it's all been plugged together, but when you look at them, it's very good.
Yeah, our economic development team is working with them like we never have before. Yeah. They actually came to speak at an event we had at a Chamber of Commerce event where, you know, they're literally coming and saying, hey, we love the partnership. Let's mm-hmm. keep doing it. How can we help you, and how can they? Because it's a win-win.
Yep.
And it's not about competing and beating them all the time. It's about how do we win together, and how do we communicate to understand and to pitch in like we do. With what we're doing even right now, right? It's like, how do we help each other grow? How do we help get each other out there? And how do we get that synergy moving in the right direction? Talk about possibilities, not the challenges, right? Because what you focus on grows.
That's it. And then we have, like the example I was using, that sale that we had. We had a generation that did a great job of getting things teed up and going. And now I think we have another good generation coming in, ready to thrive and help push it further.
Absolutely.
Picking up the baton and carrying it on forward.
Well, and I think it's a responsibility we owe to those people that came behind us and have done so much for us to give us this great downtown area, the park that you talked about that you didn't realize was so amazing. When I go to that those games on Friday night, it is a special feel.
It is.
And we don't own it because we're here. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, and the Alamo was just the Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
And downtown was, it's just downtown.
Yeah.
But then when you leave and you go back, you're like, wow, this is pretty special. You know, it's actually a special place.
Yeah.
And why didn't I see it when I was there? How do we know that now in our position today and have these conversations so people can see, like, hey, this guy came from over here. This guy grew up here and left and came back. And you know what? They're both saying this is special.
The grass is, we always say the grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah.
And I remember always, that's how I honestly thought a lot while I was younger and assumed it was just always better. And that was actually one of our deals when getting out of the Air Force and to build another business was, where do we ultimately go? Is it to move back here, or is it to go somewhere else, like I was mentioning earlier? And then we discussed that we had built something pretty incredible in Dayton, Ohio, which is very little difference between Dayton, Ohio and this area as well. Mm-hmm. We're like, why would we assume it would be worse or not better? We can make it just as good, if not better, and have our family with us and make a lot of change and really enjoy it. And that's what we decided to take advantage of, and here we are.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for making these decisions and being here, and you and your wife are amazing human beings. And one of the questions, I know you got to go.
You're good.
You got, but real quick, I wanted to ask you this. Outside of the real estate, and I know you're super laser beam focused. I get it, as you should be. What are you curious about right now that is different outside of your real estate world?
Curious outside of the real estate world.
Yeah. What are you curious about?
There are some things that if we talked on a very, go down that one, right? Curious for looking at our younger generation, a topic that's very close to like for my wife and I. And everybody can be on different fences about things, but pro-life versus pro-choice world, we're very on the side of pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very curious to see how that shift is going to continue to change. This is random. You said, hey, random.
Yeah, yeah,
off.
Absolutely.
What does it? Woo!
Absolutely.
Let's pick a touchy subject,
let's get
right?
in it. Yeah.
But that's what, if you learn, I'm more than happy to go right into any topic. But that is something that I've been very curious about. Will younger generations continue on a more pro-life trend that they have been for the last 10 to 15 years? That's something that's just random curiosity, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So I was really thinking about this morning driving here.
That's interesting.
So it's something I would love to see, and I'm wondering if we're going to continue to see that.
Yeah, I would love to unpack that with you one of these days when we have 30 minutes to sit down and unpack mm-hmm. that conversation, and even about how we communicate better, because that decision that was made, frankly, broke my heart. But I understand that people manipulate things and information that's given, and both sides of the political aisles do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we take something so sacred and bastardize for political reasons when we can just have an open, honest conversation and try to understand each other without that piece? Because I think that's what happened. And it was interesting to me just this last season.
And you're talking for the local vote for Kansas,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And that's where I go, because I think that's what we can do something about. Yep. That's what we can influence. That's the neighbors and friends that we have when we have these conversations. Yep. I know that I've spent some time around that space, and I just heard a lot of manipulation. And when I would ask people questions, because I already knew the answer, because I spent nights and nights reading stuff to make sure that, you know, I knew what I needed to know.
Yeah.
For my own peace of mind, that people really didn't know. They were just listening to the text message they were getting, or, you know, and you would even ask people in the text message I would get. And I said, well, what are these 15 things? Can you lay them out for me?
Yeah.
Well, you need to read this 240-page document. Well, can you highlight the pieces for me that you read? Of course, you never get answers.
It got very muddled and confusing. But that's where it just so for here, it might have been it turned out differently than maybe some would expect. But other places, it's changed. And it's just interesting to see that has started to happen over the last few years.
Interesting.
More so than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
And if you just looking at the data on demographics, so where you say, just am I curious? The thing I was just still curious about now is, in so many aspects, we see the world being more and more progressive on a lot of subjects. For this one, we're seeing younger generations becoming voting more pro-life than choice. There's been a big fight to change that in some regard, but it's still, it's not what it was 20 years ago.
It's interesting.
Heavy, stark, the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in one category. I was just, so when I'm curious, you just ask,
well,
I'm just curious where that's going to land.
And in
20 years, are younger kids going to be thinking that? Because that will change things more in that favor over the long run.
Absolutely.
Something that we don't see in most topics or subjects. So
yeah.
Well, you that's just ask, hey, random 100%, curiosity.
I appreciate it.
That's the thing
I'm going to tell
I'm
you.
I'm curious about, and I don't know.
Getting to know you, we could literally talk for days.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it's not just you, it's me too, because I want to answer things, but I feel like we're always going 100 miles an hour. And I know I am. And sometimes it'd be nice to just barbecue and sit down together and be like, okay, let's unpack some of this, because you're, I think, a little bit more or just about the same amount of a nerd as I am, which you are just curious and you really want to know.
Oftentimes.
That's why I think you'd be a great podcaster, because you ask questions like you want to know. And you want to know how people come to decisions. And like this Teffy deal that me and you were on the phone about, I mean, when you latched on and you started getting a little bit of a picture, you wanted to drill down and really get an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you do that. I love how you do that. And it's almost like, man, I wish I could just take a seat and sit down and take out some stuff and start going over it with them, because I think you would actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because you make everything valuable that you get in your head, and you want to put pieces together. And like you're saying, you don't know if Valley Center and Newton and Wichita, how much that's really being talked about, our corridor kind of experience. And it's totally happening, right? How do we get more people to the table?
Yeah.
And get the right people hooked up and start casting visions and recruiting more people to those visions.
Yeah.
And you get it. And I'm excited about it. And I love where you're going with that. And again, you are just curious. And that is amazing, because there's honestly, it's a breath of fresh air for a guy like me to go, I'm not crazy. There's other people like that. This guy just wants to know.
If you don't know how something works, how can you figure out how to solve the problem for someone else? Kind of what that comes down to for us. And that's where it's just natural beating in for like client's sake. It's understanding. I got to understand what you're really going for. What's your goal here, so that we can make sure we meet the expectation and we can find the right solution to make it work for you.
That's awesome.
So that's really what drives a lot of that. Just always being curious, because if you don't know, you can't solve the problem.
Yeah. Last question, my man. What is one thing you would like to share with the world from your heart no categories, no nothing, just one thing you want to share. Evan, his business, his family, whatever that thing is, do you have anything you want to share with Harvey County? Put you on the spot.
I'm going to go back to a theme with what you had brought up there for going away, coming back, is that for folks local here, if ever assuming that, hey, this place isn't the best for me, there's always something better, to know that the grass isn't necessarily always greener. And to really make sure, let's try to just water our own yard, essentially, right? And that sometimes we just got to pour into that. And don't be afraid to do so. Sometimes we're really afraid to lean into that. And that's the one message that I really like to have across, is that really the corridor concept, so to say, if you're listening, you're from Newton itself, it's from Wichita itself, it's a great place to really be. And we've been, it's taken us a while to really recognize that. And having gone out, come back to that, it makes a difference. Got a good friend, a gentleman who's now also building into this corridor concept, Jason Pomeroy. He had a great line of, you got to move back. Kansas is the best place to grow boys a character, men a character. Got a lot of boys. Yeah. And I'm like, you're spot on about that. It's a great place to grow a lot of men a character. And so that would be my message, not to forget that, hey, this is a good place to be.
Well, thank you for bringing your talents back home. Thank you for what you represent. You and your wife are an amazing team. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys grow in the years to come. I appreciate the time you spent with us here today. And I'm looking forward to sharing this video out to Harvey County and people becoming more proud of where we're at today and knowing that, you know, the best people are all around us. It's what we make of it.
I like it. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for having me on the show, Andy.
Evan, appreciate you, dude. Talk to you soon.